today on Real Radio.
When you reject him and you keep rejecting him, your mind starts to go weird. People who have made it a career of rejecting God, they go like nuts. They don't think right. They don't see things right. They wind up cursing the very one that loves them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1, continues in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah was God's prophet in ancient Judah between 740 and 700 BC. Isaiah brought comfort and truth to the Jewish people, but he was God's voice of judgment when they refused to turn from their sins. The book of Isaiah also has the most quoted verses in the Bible when it comes to the birth, life, and death of Jesus Christ, and Isaiah's prophecies go far beyond into the future when Christ returns in the second coming. In Isaiah chapters 22 and 23, we learn how God takes national worship very seriously. When God's word is neglected and we rely on other nations for help, the power of the Holy Spirit is avoided and the sin of unbelief spreads. That's why God removes his protection from us when he really wants to restore and heal us. Now in Isaiah chapter 24, Isaiah is given a series of visions by God that go beyond Israel and Judah's judgment and into the coming of the last days. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that nothing compares to what's going to happen in the last days. Jesus is returning in judgment while many are being deceived under the Antichrist. That's why it's so important to share the good news of God's grace and salvation while there is indeed still time. And now continuing his lesson called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places, increasingly so. All these are the beginning of birth pains, sorrows. The word in Greek is birth pains. Isn't that interesting? The earth is like pregnant with judgment. Then they will deliver you up, verse 9, to tribulation, not the great tribulation, but to tribulations. It's not the same word, but kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness abounding, the love of many will grow cold. He keeps going. Look at verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Jesus said. Wow, this changes everything. Jesus is saying, Daniel prophesied about the future when this political ruler is going to come, this bad guy. He's going to have the 7-year deal. Every Jew knew what Jesus meant. They knew this. What you're hearing tonight, they knew it back in his day. When you see what was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, that means there's got to be a temple rebuilt in Jerusalem for the tribulation period to have its full effect. Whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea, notice, Judea, flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop, none of us live in our housetops. They still live on their housetops in Israel. Not go down to take anything out of the house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Why? Because you can't run fast if you're pregnant, and I don't know how good you can run when you're nursing. He's telling us about a catastrophe. He's telling us about the next Holocaust. And pray that your flight or escape is not in the winter or on the Sabbath. You try to leave Judea when it snows, good luck. First of all, the ground is like ice, even on a sunny day. It's so slick. The rocks are so smooth and so slippery. And Jesus is saying, man, when this time comes, you better hope it's not a bad weather day or a snowy day, because you'll never get out of the city. You'll never make it in your running. You'll never make it. Or on the Sabbath. Why? What's that all about? Because a Jew will have a hard time. They're going to feel like they're offending or breaking their relationship with God if they travel more than, what, 1,200 furlongs in a, on a Sabbath day? They can only walk so far in a Sabbath day. And Jesus is saying, you better hope that this moment of desolation that's done by this Antichrist, you better hope that doesn't happen on a Sabbath day, because you're going to have a conflicting view of that. But Jesus is saying, you better run. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. Can you imagine? Has there been bad things in history? Jesus says, all of it's been nothing compared to what's coming. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders. Look, they got demonic powers to deceive, if possible. Thank God, if possible, makes it impossible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner room, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus Christ is coming back in judgment in his second coming. The rapture, he receives us in the atmosphere to himself to take us where he's been. The second coming is altogether different. And the Bible says here, Jesus said it. He's going to be coming from the east. Just like lightning flashes from the east to the west, that's very important. Because, listen, we'll study in future chapters in the book of Isaiah. It actually tells us Jesus is going to, the Messiah is going to come from the east toward the west in his return to Israel. I want to show you a picture real quick. In fact, a series of them, I guess. You see this valley? I'll try to hold this still, really still. You see that? See that area right there? Can you see the difference? There's mountains. You see those mountains right there? That's Jordan. See these mountains? That's Israel. You see this in between there? Where the red with the what color is that dot? Green dot. Jerusalem would be there. This valley goes 200 miles. Up over into Syria, and it points out towards Damascus, would be over here. We're standing on top of Mount Carmel right here. You see this airbase? That's Ramat David airbase. Okay, we've been all over that place. See this valley? It's called the Jezreel Valley. You may not have heard of the Jezreel Valley. You know this valley by a different name. The Bible calls it Armageddon. Napoleon said, this is the perfect place to fight a battle. Next slide. This is more of it. This is Mount Tabor right here. But when Jesus Christ comes, you say, why are you pointing this out? Because you see this distance over here? You see this? He says, I'm coming like lightning that comes from the east to the west. West is behind me. The Mediterranean's over here. The Bible says that they will assemble their forces in Revelation chapter 16. By the way, the Bible says that demons will be released from the pit, and they will put it into the minds of the commanders to gather their armies here in a place called Armageddon to make war. But they never make war. It's the battle that actually never happens. They get ready to make war. And Jesus knows, and he just said it a moment ago, he said, if I don't come back, there'll be no flesh left on the earth. He actually winds up saving the earth by returning. They're about ready to nuke the world, these guys, because forces from Egypt, Egypt's over here, the forces of Egypt have come up, the Antichrist forces from the north and from Europe have come this way, and they meet. By the way, see this land right here? This land throughout all of human history has been host to more battles than any other place on earth in recorded history. And it's the last stage for the last battle that doesn't happen. Exactly. Jesus is going to appear in the atmosphere from as like lightning flashes from east to the west. His flight path is going to be just like this to Megiddo. In fact, Megiddo, the actual Megiddo, Solomon's stables are right over here. Next slide, I think. That's just more of the same. Next slide. Yeah, this is cool. This is more north and you're looking into Jordan over there, the kingdom of Jordan. This is Megiddo. It's beautiful farm country. It kind of reminds you of Central California, right? How literal is the Bible? Jesus said, I'm coming out of the east, and I'm coming for judgment. Revelation 19, verse 11 says, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. I need to pause right there. This kind of freaks a lot of people out. You know who we're talking about here? It's Jesus. Not my Jesus. He would never do that. Well, not right now. But he's not coming back as suffering savior. He's coming back as conquering king. Listen, last time he rode a donkey, last time he came into town on a donkey. Okay, this time he's coming in on a white horse. Okay, and last time he had nothing, and this time he just opens his mouth. Everyone blaspheme, and you know, Jesus, and he's just gonna go. Gone. He's going to open his mouth, and the Bible says, out of his mouth goes, it's the word of God, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. That sword doesn't fly out of his mouth. He's not some sort of Lord of the Rings freak thing. He's going to open his mouth. He's going to speak. In fact, it's very cool because he's going to say something with the breath of his mouth to the Antichrist, and he's going to be gone. Just gone. He's coming back, and look, they never have the warriors of Armageddon never get a chance to battle because Jesus comes and makes war. He deals with it. If you have a hard time with that, then you don't understand justice or righteousness. His eyes, verse 12, were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. So we don't even know what that special name written is. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. I'm wondering if you know the reason why. I'll give you a clue. You can search it later. Basra. Look up Basra. The way he got blood on his robe, and it's shown here in his second coming because he previously got blood on his robe in Basra. Look that up, and you can look up Basra on the internet, or you can look up Basra in the Bible. Look up Basra in the Bible and ask yourself, what is Jesus doing there? It is absolutely awesome. His robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God, and the armies in heaven clothed in fine linen, white, clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. That's judgment. He's going to judge them. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is awesome. That is awesome. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. Haggai 2, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. That's the name, that's a name for the Messiah. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. He's going to do it. Isaiah 13, 13. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in that day of his fierce anger. We'll have to stop with this last verse. Luke 21, 26. Jesus said, when this stuff happens, Isaiah 24 and these other passages, when God is getting ready to judge the earth, the 7-year tribulation period, all this stuff going on, Jesus said in Luke 21, 26, for men's hearts will fail them for fear and the expectation of those things that are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens. The word in Greek is for the stability of the heavens will be untied or shaken. Now, we have to end right here. Listen, though. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that by Jesus Christ, he holds all things together. It's fitting, it's appropriate that the one who has been rejected, blasphemed, the one who died on the cross for the sins of the world and yet is rejected by the world, the one who says, please, it's all going up in fire and smoke. I don't want that to happen to you. Come to me. When they not only reject him, listen, when you reject him and you keep rejecting him, your mind starts to go weird. People who have made it a career of rejecting God, they go like nuts. They don't think right. They don't see things right. They wind up cursing the very one that loves them. And there's going to be a day when the heavens are going to shake, the earth is going to shake. California has never seen an earthquake like this. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that there's going to be an earthquake that the entire world shakes from it. The whole globe. What is that? All because they would not accept him. You say, well, he's out of control. He's lost, you know, he's lost control. He's being mean. No, no, no. This stuff, this judgment is what comes when sin has entered the world. He's done everything to get you from having to experience this. He went to the cross for us. He rose again from the dead for us so that we'd never have to experience this. You and I live in an amazing age. You know what we're supposed to do right now? We're supposed to be looking for the coming of the Messiah at any moment, and that should motivate us to love other people and to tell them about the cross, about sin, about heaven, and how to escape hell. Really? He loves, but he's coming back as a judge. He's coming back to punish all the inhabitants of the earth. See, the thing is this tonight, don't be an inhabitant of the earth. Look, you're living here, but this isn't your home. It's like going camping. You know, it's great to camp for a while. You know, for a while. You're living. It's okay. But it's like, I can't wait to get home. Listen, we're not home yet. You're gonna go to your house tonight, but it's not your home. He's coming for us. The amazing thing is, where are we on that timepiece? Is it any tick now? Any moment now? That he could come to get us? Yes. When we see the world doing what it's doing, acting like it's acting, how close are we? Oh man, I hope tonight. Seriously, amazing. I hope you're ready to meet him. If tonight you're not ready to meet him, you can simply... I say simply, he's made it simple for you. You can simply say, in all honesty, God, I'm a sinner. My sins put you on the cross. You are God, and you knew in the 21st century I'd commit these sins. And yet 2,000 years ago, you still died for me knowing all this? I'm asking you to receive me, Lord, as I confess my sin to you, because I have violated you, God. I've offended you, God. And I'm asking you to wash me clean. And I believe that you died on the cross for me and that you rose again from the dead for me. And I want you now to live your life through my body, through my world, through my life. God, you live through me. And when I open my mouth, it's as though Jesus has opened his mouth. What I do with my hands is like Jesus doing with my hands. If that's your desire tonight, you just tell him in this moment of prayer, Jesus, that's me tonight. And you make that commitment to him. He'll hear you. Let's pray right now together. Father, we thank you now, God. We thank you as a church, first of all, and I don't mean this building. I don't mean the name that's out on this building. That's meaningless. I'm talking about us as a church, meaning the body of Christ. We are so grateful. We will not see the great tribulation period. We will not see this Antichrist. We will not see these bowls being poured out, the trumpet judgments taking place, the seal judgments that your scriptures reveal, and all of these horrific things. We won't see that. We may see a heart attack. We may see a car crash. We may see a boat sink or ISIS or plane crash or what, I don't know. Doesn't matter. That's life. But thank you, God, we will never see your wrath. Jesus took our wrath at the cross in our place. He stepped in for you, my friend. And tonight you just tell him, God, from the depths of my soul, I'm asking you to forgive me. You tell him sincerely, he'll hear you. Heavenly Father, I pray that tonight we would be more appreciative of your word than ever before. God, you're awesome to tell us the future in advance. How kind is that of you? You love us that you would tell us. Lord, now receive our worship and our praise as we thank you for the God that you are. Thank you that we'll never see the grave. It will never hold our soul. It will never hold our spirit. We will never feel the grip of darkness in the pit. We thank you, God, that your word says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And Lord, I don't know, but if during this hour, our dear little brother Noah could have been graduated tonight. But Father, if not him, how many during this 1 hour of Bible study have entered into your glory, brothers and sisters, that we will meet because you are faithful. Hear and receive our praise now in Jesus' name. Church, let's bless him in closing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1. You know, we say it all the time, thanking you for joining us today, but we really do mean it. And our hope is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. When the End is Just the Beginning, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, Isaiah was prophesying about the nation of Israel, but God really is a very personal God. He really does have a plan for your life. That's why it's our prayer here at Real Radio that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In a world of uncertainty, Jesus wants you to put your faith and trust in him. It really is a good position to be in. The best, if you ask me. He's the only one that died and rose again so that you can spend eternity in heaven with him. But if you're struggling with questions about salvation, well, we'd like to help. Pastor Jack has a tab at his website. It's called Know God. It's right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's Know, K-N-O-W, God. And it's designed to give you a clear understanding of all that God has for you and all that he's done for you. So head on over to our website and click on that tab called Know God. It's an excellent way to get your questions answered and also provide you the information you need to share Jesus Christ with others. It's all there at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's something that's pretty cool. If you're a regular listener or maybe you're brand new to Real Radio, wouldn't it be great if you could just kind of sit down and chit-chat with Pastor Jack? Well, you kind of can because Pastor Jack has just started a brand new podcast. This is awesome. It's like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, all sorts of different subjects. Just search for the keyword Jack Hibbs, J-A-C-K-H-I-B-B-S, in your favorite podcast app and look for the new Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. It's sort of like one-on-one with Pastor Jack, and you can take it with you wherever you go. Check it out. If you need more info, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. As a matter of fact, to get there quicker, you can go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org/talk. And you'll see it right there. Go get that brand new podcast, Real Life Talk with Jack Hibbs. You're going to like it. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.